And we were in the book of Revelations, and we were occupied with the subject of destinies, God as the manager of time and history. And so we've started off with the revelation of Jesus Christ, where John saw the Lord in his resurrection and ascended glory as the one who was and is to come, moving among his church. That's where we started. Then we look at the seven churches of Asia. And then we looked at the church destiny, those who have hitched themselves unto the redemptive work of Christ. You know, the church there was the light-bearing body to the world. But among that church, there are those who have hitched themselves sincerely to the redeeming work of Christ. They have a destiny, and that destiny is around the throne of God. Glory. So we follow the church from earth to glory. And then we looked at the history of the world, the nations. And so we leap from Revelation into Daniel. We are going to come back into Revelation eventually, where we look at the destiny of the nation. All right, as we've seen in Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7, Revelation 11, 15, that the destiny of the nation eventually will become they will come under the lordship of the Lord Jesus. But it would happen in a dramatic way, where we saw the Lord Jesus as the smiting sovereign rock. He would destroy all human government, and his government alone shall exist in that day. The scripture said his government shall be great, and the greatness of his peace and his government. You know, everywhere people are complaining about government. Ronald Reagan said, government is the problem. Everywhere in the world today, people are complaining the corruption that exists in government. But this world is waiting for government that will be just and righteous. In fact, the scripture tells us that he will rule the world with a rod of iron. He would bring men in line with his righteousness. And so we read in Revelation that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign. That's millennium we're talking about. So that's where we are heading. But then we looked at another group of people, the Jews. They have a destiny too. The church, the world, and the Jews. So I just want to tie together so those who have not heard me before would have some background to where we are, where we were, where we are going. And so very much in the destiny of the nations is the history and destiny of the Jewish people. A small group of people with large impact on the world. And that is true. Are people without a country for most of their history? We know God said it, they've been exiled throughout the nations. God dispersed them throughout the nation. And they were supposed to be a blessing too as well, under judgment. They said, God have a sense of humor. When they were going to Babylon, they were told, you have a good attitude now. They've lost their country. They've lost everything. And he said, you have a good attitude. I want you to go there to build, have your families, plant vineyards, and pray for them. Pray for the cities where you are. That was God's intent, you see. They failed to honor God in the land, and the scripture said the land vomited them out. God abhorred his inheritance. Sad saying, but that's true. But God never gave up on the Jews. One cannot truly talk about world history without recognizing the role of the Jews, good, bad, and ugly in some ways. Whether you're talking about kingdoms or nations, they have played a vital part, yes, very vital part. You know, if you read true account of Jewish history, you're amazed at the impact they had on the nations. Whether it's the British crown, the Spanish crown, Swedish crown, they made such tremendous impact. They literally saved some of these nations from bankruptcy. Even the United States, as I told you last time, the guy by the name of, I can't know his name now. Somebody remind me if you remember. He loaned Washington money to finance the Union Army. There's a memorial to him in Philadelphia. They have made tremendous impact on all the nation. But the greatest impact of the Jew, they've given us the Savior. Hallelujah. All nations have been blessed through the salvation of the Lord Jesus. So for 2,500 years, God has scattered these people among the nations, and for that time they have suffered persecution, genocide, random murders, just for their Jewishness. Yet they have been amazingly preserved. You know, they have suffered, you know, they have done good. These are people, they're not violent. They don't blow up your homes, they don't blow up nothing. And yet they've been hounded everywhere they've been. This is satanic. But God was watching over his people. You know, somebody asked, where was God during the Holocaust? Yesterday was Holocaust Memorial Day. Hope you remember that. And the question was asked, where was God when Hitler and his thugs murdered 6 million Jews plus others? And the question was asked, where was man? Many nations sat by, they knew what was happening, and they did nothing. Even some of the Christians were complicit in this act. You know, we are told the train lines that carried Jews to their death run alongside some churches in Germany. And when the trains were coming, if the preacher was preaching, he would stop and start a song so that they would not hear the screaming and the crying of the Jews. That's on record. The church was complicit in this. That's why many do not want to hear about Christianity. We've done a great disservice to the kingdom of God. But what this is at the hands, in fact, we talk about Martin Luther and his idea. Elie Wiesel is a guy that coined the word genocide. You know, today everybody say Israel is doing genocide. Young people are stupid. They're ignorant. They don't have no frame of history. And so the professors are telling you, and they're going out there like fools, babbling fools. This is what genocide is. The destroying of an ethnic religious group for just that reason. That's not going on there. In fact, genocide is happening right now in Africa. And South Africa hosted one of the genocidal warlords from the Sudan, where they are killing black people because of their ethnicity, tribal ethnicity. They are complicit. Yet nobody brings them to the United Nations courts. But today, the World Court has said Israel is plausibly committing genocide. The world system is corrupt against the Jews. It's not new. Yeah, as one of the judges in that court says, what? They are blaming Abel for the murder of Cain. One of the judges in the court says that. It is so unjust. They are blaming Abel for the crimes of Cain. That's why I didn't say it right. Anyhow. So anyhow, Holocaust, again, the Jews, very vital role. They have suffered for 2,500 years. 20 years ago, I said this the last time, just recapping. King Louis XIV of France said to Blaise Pascal, Christian philosopher, give me proof of God. And what did he say? The Jew. Yes, Your Majesty, the Jew. He said, these people have survived so much horror. Yet they've survived. Mark Twain. This is what Mark Twain said. I better read it from here. It's easier to read from here. He said, the Egyptian, Babylon, and Persian rose, filled the planet, songs and splendor. Then they pass away. The Greek, Roman followed, made a vast noise, and they are gone. The Jews saw them all, beat them all, and now we always, as he always was, inhibiting no decadence, no infirmity of age, no weakness in his path, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert, aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? These are men observing all the horror they suffered, and that is the... So we are focused on the Jew right now. This is John Adams, second president of the United States. These are the words. I will insist that Hebrew have a more to civilize men than any other nations. And he went on to say this. And I said, they've given religion to 3/4 of the world and have influenced the affairs of mankind more and more happily than any other nation, ancient or modern. That's the Jew. They have contributed so much to this world in spite of their small numbers. And in spite of what they suffered. So what is the secret of the Jews' mortality? God is the secret of their immortality. He has made a promise, and his counsel shall stand in spite of what men say. Today in this country, anti-Semitism has risen, let's say, by almost 400%. We never believe that this is so in the United States. But on our streets, we are seeing people are shocked. Where did this come from? It's devilish. It comes out of the heart of men. It's devilish. For no reason. These people are defending themselves from a vile act. And bang, as they said, the foreign minister of Israel said, you are supporting us today, but 2 weeks from now, you'll change your mind. And how true that is. They did their genocide, they're bad. And so the blood libel continues. And so there's hatred spread. It's all satanic. Where's that going to take us? You know, because of all that Jews have suffered. If you go to read the history, they try to integrate into the nations. Many have assumed to be Christians so that they can have a position as a lawyer, so they can sit in the House of Lords. One was the Prime Minister of England, but he had to become a Christian. He got denied Jewish. Before the Holocaust, many in Europe renounced their Jewishness. They said, no Jewish homeland, no going back to Israel. No hope in Jerusalem next year. That was all cut off from the prayer books. They lost hope. They've lost hope. No Holy Land, no Messiah. All gone. And it's all because of what they suffered. But God has decreed a future for the Jews. And it is decreed throughout Scripture. As I earlier said, 50% or 90% of the Bible has to do with these people. God has identified himself numerous times as the God of Israel, as the God of Jacob, as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't take on that title very lightly. And he made it there so that everybody can know who he is and who he represents. So they have a future in God's plan. That's where we go. That's where we start the last time. 70 weeks are determined. God has, remember we looked at Daniel, where the nations there, time was decreed. Nebuchadnezzar all the way, running right now, Roman Empire. And Daniel was, well, what happened to my people? Because he saw in his vision, Antiochus Epiphanes in Daniel 7 and the horror. He saw in his vision all that the Romans would do to the Jews. He saw it all. And he was troubled in his mind. What about the Jew? And so the angel said to him, all right, Daniel, 70 weeks are decreed for your people. And he identified the 70 weeks and so on. And we see in Daniel 9, 24, I'm going to be very fast today. This is an overview. And after the 70 weeks, this is going to happen. The 11th lasting righteousness, and you see up the vision, and it, an end to sin, and so on. This is millennium blessing he's talking about. So after 70 weeks, they would move right into that. So God is going to bring an end to human government at the end of the 70 weeks, and they are part of this. So they are, and actually, God is setting time by the Jew. That's very important. God is defining time by the Jew. And he's telling when the 70 is going to start and when it's going to end. That's how God treasured these people. And as we continue our study, we saw that the 70 weeks were broken up into 49 and then 49 is 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks of years. All right. And then the total of 69 weeks, bam, something dramatic happens. Messiah is cut off. Messiah, that's the Lord Jesus. He was cut off. And God suspended the reckoning of time as far as the Jews are concerned. And we know the prophetic gap. We talked about that earlier. But Daniel continued to say that when Messiah is cut off, something's going to happen. The reckoning of time for the Jews will stop. 69 weeks. If you go to chapter, verse 27 of the chapter, 1 week is identified, that's 70th week. We am there yet. That is yet to come. So there's a big gap between the 69 week and the 70th week when the Antichrist will come on the scene. And again, the Jew is the focus of that. The tribulation is all about the Jew. But everybody will be involved. The whole world will be involved. But the focus is the Jew. But until that time comes, you read in 26, he said the Roman would come and destroy and so on the city and the sanctuary. And the end therefore shall be with a flood. And unto the end, there'll be wars. I had another translation that puts it nicely. It says, until the end, there'll be wars and desolation. And the Jewish people have known that from 9 AD 70 until this day, wars and desolation. You know, they did something that was very serious. This is the longest they've been out of their land. When they crucified the Lord Jesus, we read it all in Luke. He suspended nation, he proclaimed judgment. It's always been through this already. Wars and desolation. And that's what we're heading, wars and desolation. That is going to be their portion for a long time. AD 70 was a terrible year in their history. That's when General Titus destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, killed over a million Jews, according to Josephus. AD 135, again, they rebelled. The Jewish people never took that easy. They never take occupation lying down. These people fought their way into the land and they keep fighting up to this. They're going to be fighting their way to the end. Decreed, war is decreed. 35, the name was changed to Palestine. And there's a lot of lies again about that going around the place. All right? And there's a lot of lies about the history of that. But we're not going to talk about that today. Let's stick with our message. We also looked at the last time that one of the most promised and vibrant is God is going to bring this year back. It's everywhere. He's going to gather them back by hook or crook. He's going to send hunters for them. He's going to send fishermen and bring them back from the rocks and the holes back to their land. And we read it in Isaiah. He said, he should set his hand again the second time to recover the remnants of his people. He did the first time out of Babylon. This is the second time. It's happening right now, but it's not fully fulfilled yet in all this. It is happening millennium. God is going to get them all back to the land. So the prophetic writing clearly tells us that Israel will gather before the 70th week of Daniel is fulfilled. All right? So 1948, a nation without a land and a land without a nation came together. And we have Israel was born. And we see wars were associated with that event. We know the story. You know, this is the New Summer Transition. The end will come with a flood. And until the end, there will be war. Desolations are decreed. That's it. And another translation put it here, the commander, that is the Roman, will destroy both city and sanctuary. Its ending will come like a flood. And until the end, there will be war and with desolation having been decreed. That is their heritage. They've been fighting for a long time. See, 1948, when Israel was as a nation, we don't talk about wars today. That's where we're heading really today. As a nation, when Israel was born as a nation, 1948, they have fought 16 wars. 16. They're still fighting right now. And it's all, again, driven by hatred. Hatred. You know? They want to eliminate them from the land. That's the goal. We push them into the sea, from the river to the sea. That's what they're talking about. Never will it happen. Thus said the Lord. Never will happen. But this is decreed. You see, Abraham was involved in the first recorded war in history, actually. May not have been the first war, but the first recorded war. Read it in Genesis 14. You know, Abraham now is settling down. Settled down in Mamre, and he built an altar, and he built a home. And we saw there were several kings. You read about five kings, five nations, they put together and they attacked the kings of Sodom and so on, and Lot was taken away. What Abraham did, Abraham did not just build a home and an altar. He built an army. Don't you miss that, but that's true. He built a home, great. He built an altar for worshiping, but he built an army for his protection. He was able to muster 180 well-trained men and defeat the armies that came and destroyed Sodom. Well-trained. 800 men destroyed 3 or 5 different armies and rescued Lot. That's the story. Abraham needed to protect himself. And so he understood where he was living. And so he built an army. First recorded war in history. And the question comes up, why war? Why does God allow war? Right today, the drums of war all over the place. Everywhere. 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 James asks, where does war come from? It comes from within your members. It's a sin problem. You know? It's a sin problem. The consequence of all sin, lost desires and so on. War is the fruit of sin. That's why we have lots of war. This is from a Canadian Army Journal. Since 30, I don't like this, they're referring to that first war with Abraham and those kings. But they are recording. They say since 3600 BC or 3600 BC, the world has known only 292 years of peace. We're talking, and this was written in 2003. You're talking about over, that is what, over 500 years, 5,000 years of human history. We've known only 300 years of peace. Human beings love war. It's in their nature, it's sin in their nature, it's terrible. That period, we had 14,500 wars, and only that's up to 200, 2003. We've had lots of war from then to now. And the lives, 3 trillion. Plus lives lost. You know, it was the United States Secretary of State when they were about to drop the bomb in Japan, and they were debating the death that would result. He said something that is very profound, that I wish people would listen today, especially those idiots that think they can start war and turn it off like a game. It doesn't work like that. He said the face of war is the face of death. And that is true. When you start a war, you have opened the gates of hell. And you can't just turn it off like a game. That's what they're trying to do now. It doesn't work like that. They've done it before. You start a war, they need to think. The Lord Jesus said it. When a man goes to war, he counts the cost. The Bible tells you so. You sit down first and count the cost of war. War is terrible. Look how many lives lost. Combat war reside. I love this. War reside in the same neighborhood as rape, murder, wife beating, and so on, and they're all the fruit of sin. Wars are born in the same hospital as quarrel with your neighbor, the hospital of sin. That's where it's born. In the human heart. That's what James said. That's where war comes from. The value of war, the cost of war. Since that time, he said the wars that were fought could pay for a golden bell. This is a Canadian journal, again, Army Journal. Think about that. 75 miles wide, 30 feet deep around the whole world. That's a lot of cost. This is some, this is secular stuff. Canadian Army Journal. It's in the heart of man. 5,000 years, only 209, 2 years of peace. We waste so much fighting. God's indictment of man. He never made from the sinful nature of man. Either the deeds, acts of their hands are violent, their feet rush to evil. Quick to shed innocent blood. There's no thought. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, premeditated. Ruin and destruction and violence are in their path. The path of peace they have not known. There is no justice. This is God's indictment of men. And how true that is, we are living it. We are living it. We are living it today. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their way, the ways of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's it. Men without the fear of God, they are prone to wars. And so we're going to keep having wars until the Prince of Peace comes. And he said, men would learn war no more. Hallelujah. Men would learn war no more. Sometimes God used war for judgment. He allow it for judge nations. Jeremiah, I believe the civil war was judgment on this country. They've done great evil in slavery, great evil. God judged nations. He used war to judge nations. This symbol here was given by a Russian, you know, to the United Nations. Hung your swords into plowshares. And your spears into pruning hooks. A Russian gave that to the United Nations. Russia is the most aggressive nation today.
And he was quoting Isaiah. It's up in the United Nations. Quoting Isaiah. Yes, he was quoting Isaiah 2. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. The nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. War is a problem. Big problem. But the world can't stop it. He will judge between nations and render verdict for the benefit of many and so on. The Lord is the one that would fix it. Praise God. Since the formation of the United Nations, 300 war conflicts. So that's in 1945, but now 300 armed conflicts. Bad ones. World War I killed 80 million people. World War II killed 70 million. It's a big numbers. And you can go in there, at least 12 go and search it. There are at least 13 violent wars, 25 million, 10 million. Death, the war, the face of war is the face of death. Suffered, human kind of suffering. All right, so the Jewish nation and war. So human being, that's a problem. It's in our nature. Only Christ would fix it. Right? The 16 wars, we said that. They were all wars driven by anti-Semitism, aim at extermination. Israel won them all miraculously. Enemy of God, and Israel is not finished. We're heading to the three great world wars. I know we don't have time, but it's important to just fill in the gap. Fill in the gap, fill in the gap. You know, I've heard a story of a Jewish soldier. When the Egyptian, when they were fighting, it was a six-day war. They were trapped in a minefield. And it was certain death. There was no way out. Enemy behind, a minefield in front. And there was one soldier who prayed. He prayed in his Jewish way. And after he prayed, he said a wind from somewhere came abroad and literally swept the minefield so they can see the mine and got out. All the wars of Israel were miraculously won, most of them. They were supposed to lose by all human thinking. The British joined the Arabs to fight their wars in 1948. America refused to give weapons at one point. Nixon's mother told him she had a dream. Do it! And he sold weapons, and that's how they got out of the mess they were in. Miraculous. There's another gentleman, another soldier said, while he was in the battlefield, a dove came on his shoulder. And he kept flicking it off, flicking it off. The dove came on his shoulder. You're in the battlefield, you don't want to be disturbed by a dove. And the dove was persistent, coming, coming. And he said that dove stayed with him until he left the battlefield. And after that, the dove went. He said, not a single man in his platoon were killed. And there are lots of other stories. The Syrian army, when they were coming over the Golan Heights, they had about 12,000 tanks. Israel had 100 and something. They were down to 10. All of a sudden, the Syrian army, they just bail out of their tanks and run. And then they said, when you interview them, they just felt a pressure in the tanks. They don't know what it was, a pressure. They got to just get up and escape. It was miraculous. God is the God of Israel. So the three great wars, I'm summarizing here quickly. Now, there's a lot of debate about when this is going to happen and who the participants. We are sure of some. Oh, I'm walking away from the mic. We are sure of some. But as you can see here, the scripture identified three distinct wars. All right? There's one, the God of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39. And it will involve several nations led by Russia. Be certain of that. Other nations that be involved is all the stands. These were former Soviet Union, right? Turkey for sure is there. Turkey is represented several times based on the Tagoma
Tubal and Goma. Now, Goma, they said, could be Germany. I'm not sure about that. But as somebody said, Germany might be at it a second time again. But there's a big debate as to who Goma represents. It could be Turkey, some say Germany, but there's a lot of. So some of those names, they're not sure. When it's going to happen, big debate. It's been narrowed to two perspectives. It's going to happen perhaps before the rapture. So it can happen any day. We were afraid what's going on now can trigger this war. And for note, all these nations on the list, say every one of them are Islamic. Isn't that significant? Very significant. That is what ties them together, over 60 million people. And they all currently are hostile to the Jews. By their religion taught them to be hostile to the And what's going on here now is just like a fanning the fire. So this can happen, they said, at any time before the rapture, some people says, or it can happen just before the tribulation. It could not happen after, because after the Lord takes over, there'll be peace. The tribulation is peace all the way through for 3 years, sorry. 7 year, 3.5 peace, and all hell break loose world over the last 3.5. So it can happen either before the rapture or just after the rapture. Just before, the tribulation or in that first 3 years. So we don't, they don't, there's quite a bit of debate, but it's gonna happen because it's decreed. All right. When I was a young man, I was saved under this message: Israel breaks Russia's backbone. I wrote my class and was telling Israel break Russia's backbone. And say, you're talking nonsense. But read it in Ezekiel. God is going to use nature. The scripture said, he said, my fury will fly up to my face. These are the words of God. It's like when a man is angry and the blood rushes to his face and his nose starts to pulsate. That's what he's talking about. And they shall know that I am the God of Israel. He's going to call for torrential rain, hailstones, 100 pounds. Earthquake, he said, earthquake that has never been. The whole world will be tossed upside down in that earthquake. Mountains would fall. Read it in Ezekiel. It's described what's going to happen. This is not a man thing. This is God rushing to the rescue of his people. And he said, then shall the nation know that I am the God of Israel. So this is going to be very dramatic. And also, a man's sword will be turned against the other. That was one of the things in those wars with the Arabs. They were fighting each other. It's typical. God sent confusion among them, started to fight against each other. This is going to happen here too. They're going to be fighting each other. And they spent 7 years burning weapons of war and 7 months burying the dead. The birds will be called, come to God's supper. Eat the body and drink the blood of men. The Gog of Magog is there described in Ezekiel 38, 39. Read it. Take your time and read it once, read it twice. It has been decreed. So when you see going on around the world, don't be afraid. God got this well in his hands. Well in his hands. The second war is Armageddon. Revelation 16, 12, and 16. This is going to happen when the Lord returns, just as he returns. That war will be ongoing. It'll be hot. And when he returns, Armageddon would be in full blow. In fact, they will be called in the Valley of Megiddo. In that area, actually, many, many, many wars were fought in the Valley of Megiddo. It is there where Deborah and Gideon fought with the Midianites. It is there where Josiah, King Josiah, died. You see, Israel sits in the middle of two great powers, east and west. Assyria on, I think, was the west, Egypt on the east, and they come into each other. They cross the land. So it was in the center of the world. Actually, the scripture says so, the center of the world. Lots of battles were fought in the valley of Megiddo. God is going to summon the nations from the four corners of all the nations, the United States as well. They'll be gathered there for battle. And Jerusalem is the target. They're there to conquer and take over the nation. The question is why? What? Like the Magog and Magog war. Why Israel? Why? When I was a young man, they used to say that it's the Dead Sea and all the minerals in the Dead Sea for agriculture. That's what they were saying. I don't know about that. This is God bringing men to make himself known. All right? So all the nations will be gathered in the valley of Megiddo. The valley of Jehoshaphat is also called. And this is going to happen just before the millennium. And the Lord will come, the scriptures, to stand among Olive, and among them will split east, west, and go north, south. And a valley will be created. And the Jewish people will be running through the valley, and they'll be going to Jordan. That place in Jordan, what is it called? Where Edom used to be.
Petra.
Petra. They'll find shelter in Petra, according to scripture. And there's where he would exercise judgment of the nations. We'll talk about that in another subject. What have you done to the least of these you've done to me? That is going to happen immediately when he puts that war to an end. And again, the supper of God, the birds and the wild beasts will be called to eat the blood and the bodies of men. As somebody said, if you're not part of the God's supper, you will be the supper. If you're not invited to the great supper of the Lamb, you will be the supper. God is inviting birds to come to the great supper of God. Judgment of the nation. And as I said, it's bad if you read Ezekiel or Joel, it tells you there, for what they have done, they have divided my land. They have divided my land, done to my people. Joel, read it. In Joel chapter 3 is there. Judgment of the nations, what they have done to the Jews. All anti-Semitic is devilish, and God is going to judge it. The final law will be after the millennium. We've known 1,000, give me 2 minutes. I had 5 minutes, right? So I'm still on time, just a little over. 1,000 years of peace and bliss, righteous government. A man will live 1,000 years. A man will live 1,000 years and his body is like a child. That's the Bible tells us. The animals will be in perfect harmony with each other and with human beings. Under his government, his peace shall be glorious. That's what we're looking for. That's what the world is looking for. The whole creation groans and they travail in pain. They are waiting for that moment. The liberty of the sons of God. But yet after all that blessing, the Bible says Satan is loose because when the Lord comes back to earth, Satan is locked up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's released and he goes out and deceives the nations and they adopt the same Gog Magog attitude. Russia is done. It's just the attitude of men. And they would come against the holy city again to destroy. Think they can fight against God. And that's where we scripture with the spirit of his mouth, he will destroy the nations. Those are the three great world wars that's recorded in scripture. They will happen. Bible has decreed it. You know, as a Christian, we have nothing to worry about. We would be with the Lord Jesus Christ as his bride. You know, we'll be part of the entourage that comes out of glory, coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the church coming with Christ to reign on earth during that 1,000 year of bliss. That's our portion. We have hitched ourselves to the Lord Jesus and in redeeming work, and we are safe. Hallelujah. We are safe indeed. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Yeah, will you close for us in prayer?
Because Father, how we thank you for scripture which speaks to us so clearly about the fact that you're in control of all that is happening. We sometimes fear because of things that are happening around us, wars in other countries, and what is going on at this present time. And yet we know that in spite of the fact that it seems like a small city, country like Israel could be easily wiped out, yet we know that your hand is upon that nation. And that gives us comfort knowing you are in control. And as we see the way that things develop, as we see the way that they continue to win, this helps us to realize that even here in this country that has turned its back on you, do you have a plan and a purpose? Help us, as those who are standing for you and seeking to live for you, help us to be strong, and we pray that this country will turn around, that there will be repentance, and that many will turn to the Lord Jesus to be saved. We know this country is dominated by Satan's evil activities, and we pray that you help us to avoid the traps and the problems that he would be bringing, not only to the world and to this country, but also into the lives of individuals. So help us to be strong in the Lord and to live in the power of his might. Thank you for our time together today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
How are you?
Good, it's okay.
Very good.
Okay. You better.